You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
We're all set, ready to go on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Coming your way here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me coming up here in just a moment. Got a good show for you on a Thursday. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us with our Off the Glass segment. Always looking forward to that. It's brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. We'll talk the state of college hoops as we get into the month of February now, about 5 weeks or so, give or take a few days from Selection Sunday, believe it or not, getting closer and closer. So we will talk some hoops coming up with Kevin Lehman. We'll talk a little football, Super Bowl coming up, of course, on Sunday, Super Bowl 59 between the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. And we'll start talking about that more and more. And, of course, a little bit more football talk to get to here today. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is a phone line as well if you'd like to pick up the phone and dial us up. And it's also 319-366-1600 on a beautiful sunny day. A little windy, but not too bad for a February the 6th. Here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me from a sunny southwest side. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there. And after a bit of a dicey night in spots and early morning, we're in good shape. Closer to 40, sunny skies. All good.
All good. Yeah, I hope everybody got to their destinations if you were out last night. And that reminds me, we are obligated to have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you before 4 o'clock.
Speaking of dicey,
indeed. We will do that coming up in just a little bit. Again, text line available, 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in here today. Speaking of dicey travel, that was the name of the game for the Iowa women. As, holy cow, did they have a problem with getting to Minneapolis, as they were scheduled to leave yesterday at 4 o'clock, or around there anyway. And according to Bailey Turner, who is the liaison with the media from the Iowa Athletic Department, with the Iowa women's basketball team, they finally got to Minneapolis. They were supposed to take off at 5:45 yesterday afternoon for the short trip to Minneapolis. They finally landed at 12:34 this afternoon in Minneapolis for their game tonight against the Gophers. Now, that is going to play a part in it. Who knows? But they were on the tarmac, I guess, for 4 hours in the plane. Finally had to stay in Cedar Rapids last night, get up, try it all over again, and finally make it up there. So I guess we'll find out how the Iowa women will deal with their travel problems tonight.
I'm sure they dealt with it just fine. It's certainly a headache. Reminds you of you and I's the wrestling team travels out east to West Virginia in a different way anyway, but you'll have that this time of year. And driving, I'm sure, would not have been much easier. But the Hawks are in Minneapolis for a pivotal game, really. It's two teams about on the same line in the Big Ten standings, one of those 50-50 games that Iowa, coming off a big victory over USC, is favored by a point.
Hawks 15-7 overall. Minnesota, a renaissance for the Gopher women's basketball program. They are 18-5 going into play tonight, and that one will be up in the Twin Cities. That is a 7 o'clock tip-off on the Big Ten Network. Iowa State got a much-needed win last night on the road at Cincinnati. You heard that game yesterday at 5:30 right here on 1600 ESPN. An expected victory against Cincinnati, but nonetheless a win that the Iowa State women had to have to keep their NCAA playoff or NCAA tournament hopes alive, and they succeeded and got that yesterday. We're getting closer and closer to the kickoff for the Super Bowl. We'll have it on Sunday for you. All kinds of coverage, starting with the pre-game show at 1 o'clock. Then the pre-game show at one. The pre-game show at two, and the actual pre-game show at three. Well, they'll kick it off at about 5:35 on Sunday evening at the Superdome in New Orleans. And we'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. I don't know if this means much to most Americans, Mark, but as you heard just ahead of SportsCenter at 3 o'clock at the top of the hour, line is starting to shift toward the Philadelphia Eagles a little bit. The Chiefs have been pretty much for the last week and a half or so a point and a half favorite. Now in some places it is down to a 1-point favorite. So in essence, this thing is basically a toss-up.
Odds makers expect it to be a pretty close game, and I'm not sure how I'm going to weigh in on this yet for the Eagles Hideaway pick six tomorrow. And I noticed the total has gone down just a shade from where we're going to pick it at 49.5 total points. So a lot of interesting aspects to this game, and I know we'll get at it tomorrow. After tomorrow, we're going to do some prop bets. I did not include whether Travis Kelce would propose to Taylor Swift after the game.
I hope not. I mean, it'd be great because the only way that he would be if the Chiefs are victorious. I mean, that would be not the best move, I think, in Travis's case, to propose after a bitter defeat. So if it happens, so be it, Mark. But it will set the world on its ear. Not only the sports world, but the entertainment world. TMZ will be all over it.
You don't want that to take away from the Chiefs' victory, do you, Scott? I don't think so.
I don't care what happens if the Chiefs win. Let me rephrase that. 319-366-1600 here on a Thursday edition of the program. Kevin Lehman's going to join us coming up in just a little bit. Some sad news today concerning your favorite NFL team, Mark, the Chicago Bears. I'm not going to say it was expected, but when you live a life that's spanned 102 years, you have seen a lot. And one of the last real ties to the old time NFL passed away for your Bears today.
It would be Virginia McCaskey at age 102. She was in her 60s the last time the Bears won the Super Bowl. And she was kind of a quiet owner, the longest tenured owner in professional sports. She inherited the team from her father, George Halas. Halas bought the team, and the franchise, that is, in 1920 for $100. And I know there's some wisecrackers out there that would say the Bears aren't worth much more than that now. Okay, fine. But she was, this lady was, she fired her own son at one point. And she had the foresight, maybe in some people's opinion, in the 1980s to get rid of the Honey Bears, the cheerleading squad, because she thought it was sexist. And she stepped in on some pretty important trade issues. But by and large, she was in the background. And I don't know that she ever wanted to be an NFL team owner, but she, again, inherited it from her dad when he died in 1983. So one of the last vestiges of the origins of the NFL.
Yeah, and just a tremendous, tremendous legacy that she leaves with the Bears and in the NFL. So tough day for all Bears fans and NFL fans, certainly, as we get closer and closer to kickoff at the Super Bowl. We're going to start to hear about the NFL Hall of Fame inductees as well. So a lot of things to come up over the weekend. And also, Mark, this coming up more and more, and Roger Goodell in his State of the Game address this week addressed this, and whether it's necessary, whether players want it, whether everybody wants it, I don't know. I'm going to pose that question to our listeners coming up here in just a moment, but we are inching our way closer to a possible 18-game NFL season. 18 regular season games. I still remember the days of 14 before it came 16. Then it became 17 in the past few years. And now it's looking as though it's going to be an 18-game regular season NFL schedule. This is not sitting well with the players. I'm kind of interested to hear what fans in Eastern Iowa have to say about it. If you are a proponent of this or if you are against this particular idea, it sounds great. More football. We like football. More football. But you take a look at since the NFL went to a 16 and especially since it went to a 17-game schedule, Mark, how many injuries there are. And players that can't answer the bell and more players being signed off the street, if you will, more players off the practice squad, which is why it is there. I get it. But you're getting to the point where you're going to have, dare I say, your one of your favorite words, load management, coming to the National Football League. And I'm not sure that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, I'm not really in favor of this. Of course, who doesn't want more football? But you have to look beyond that, and it's important to note that the ownership and the players have not really had any formal discussions about it. But the idea has been floated by Roger Goodell. It's no secret in that regard. I think it's going to get a lot of pushback, and maybe rightfully so, from the players who are going to want more money. They're going to want maybe a little more time off, maybe another bye week, especially since we just brought you the news yesterday. There's going to be a regular season game in Australia in 2026. That's quite a trip. And I'm sure they're going to want increased roster sizes and all kinds of other bargaining chips to, you know, acquiesce to the NFL, which, let's face it, it would be a move would be made for money purposes. And much like moving to the 17 game season, you're going to subtract the preseason game, which I like. I think there's too many preseason games, too many spring training games in baseball. But we'll see where it leads. It's not an immediate thing, but it's definitely on the horizon and maybe soon on the table.
Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600. What do you think? Do you want to see another regular season NFL game? Here is what we are getting to, Mark. This year's Super Bowl will take place on Sunday, February the 9th. There have been a lot of speculation that the NFL, with adding a week, and more than likely starting a week earlier because there would be a second bye week for each team, that the Super Bowl ultimately is going to end up on President's Day weekend. So that not everybody has the day off on President's Day, but there are many in the country that do have President's Day off. And it has been talked about for a long, long time. Should there be a national holiday on the Monday after the Super Bowl? Well, you got a built-in one right there. And there's long been rumored talk that the NFL would like to see the Super Bowl ultimately stretch out to President's Day weekend. So a lot of people would have a three-day weekend. So there's a reasoning behind it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this in baseball. It used to be, I remember the World Series ending on my birthday, October 27th. many years ago when the Twins won it, and now it ends in potentially in November. 20-some years ago, my granddaughter was born on Super Bowl Sunday, and that was on February 3rd. I think I got that right.
Well, I hope you did.
But it's going to be a week later compared to 20 years ago. So, I don't know. 18 games seems like a lot. 17 seems like an awful lot. I'm a proponent, again, of reducing the preseason games. But expanding the regular season, I just don't know about that.
Yeah. 52-51. You make me laugh. Better chance of stopping plate tectonics than stopping the NFL from getting more money. I would agree with you there. And they bring up a good point as well. Injuries are going to happen either way. You're just going to have the potential for more as you get to an 18-game season. 69-36 saying they wouldn't have this issue if they would just play the Super Bowl on Saturday night when it should be. Well, if it does go, I agree with you. I agree. A lot of people think it should be played on a Saturday night. But if you get the President's Day weekend, then it alleviates that problem. So I guess you take care of it right there. A lot of people with a lot of different views here. 8186 says 18 games, fine. Expand the rosters then. But 1345 says it's too many games. Last time or two, the last game or two every year doesn't mean anything to most teams. There might be a game or two with real implications, but those two games don't warrant the need for more regular season games. Go back to 16. That 17th game, you have to take your 17th opponent from the opposite conference. So if you go 18, you're going to have another game from the opposite conference. They'll get it straightened out as far as the schedule is concerned, and I agree with 52-51. This thing is going to happen. We're going to have an 18th game sooner than later. It's just going to be a matter of how long will it be. There are going to be more international games. You mentioned yesterday, Mark, the Australian game, which is going to be the Rams and the Eagles, by the way. That has already been put out there. You've got games in Germany. You've got games in England. I don't think it's going to stop there. I think you're going to see other countries visited sooner than later by the National Football League. And it could come to, it could ultimately come down to, I think every team could have an international game each year, at least every other year out there.
What is the positive aspect of adding an 18th game? I'm just sitting here wondering, and you know, I try to adapt to change and whatnot. I think there's, you know, you draw a line, pros and cons, and I think there's a lot more cons than pros.
I would have kept it at 16 myself, but
well, a lot of people would have kept Major League Baseball at 150 some odd games rather than 162.
And I think it should go back to 154. But it's not going to. Get it out of November. I mean, take a week off. Yeah, it's going to happen. They're going to get expanded rosters. There's going to be a second bye. They're going to have a lot of concessions, as you said, Mark. But in my mind anyway, I think we're going to see an 18-game schedule within the next 5 years.
Yeah, I'd like to see some other changes before that that I think are more important in terms of the rules and penalties. And we talked during the playoffs about, you know, the technology to really find out more whether the line to gain has been achieved. And I know they're going to experiment with that during the Super Bowl. It's not going to be official, but I know there's been a chip in the football for a long, long time. Well, at least a few years, a handful of years anyway, but it's not linked up to cameras that they're employing at the Super Bowl to test this technology. So until that happens, you're never going to get a definitive thing. And I kind of went off on a tangent there, but I'd like to see more of those things explored rather than 18th game.
I think it's about 2-1 against an 18th game, just reading responses on the text line. And thanks to everybody for doing so. I mean, 71-48 says let's go back to 14 games. Too many games, says our friend Sean from the bus trip. Too many. Season will have to start before the NCAA season. And it is all about the money, 25-37. You asked, Mark, why should they go to 18 games? What is the basis for it? Well, you can't have enough money if you're the National Football League.
Nope. And you know what? If you had a fantasy football team, I don't anymore, but I know you do, Scott. Over the last couple of years, how many different times did you have to tweak your roster because of injuries?
Every week.
Every week.
Didn't do any good. And no, Tua can't last 18 games, 45-70. Now, I don't think there'd be many quarterbacks that could last 18 games if they went to that schedule. But I think it's coming. All right. Thanks for the input. Appreciate it to our great listenership out there. 3:26, we need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, and then we'll talk with Kevin Lehman, the coach. Our Off the Glass segment brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group. We will do that coming up in just a little bit. But first, an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you proudly by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Stop on by. They're open at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And they've got terrific, terrific food, mouth-watering, great bar area. Stop on by. Tell them Scott, Mark, and everybody at the Gym Class sent you. What do we got today?
A little bit of contract news on the scoreboard today. The New York Mets have reached agreement on a contract with slugger Pete Alonso that will pay him $54 million over 2 years. And in college football, Ohio State and head coach Ryan Day have agreed on a contract extension through 2031. Terms include an annual salary of $12.5 million, which is second only in college football to Georgia's Kirby Smart. A day after number one national recruit Bo Bassett committed to Iowa, his Pennsylvania high school teammate and number two recruit announced for Oklahoma State. Jax Forrest will join the Cowboys in the 2026 class, along with Drayshon Ross of Fort Dodge. Forrest competed in the Olympic trials last year, losing a 5-4 decision to Thomas Gilman. And finally, among the inductees into the Iowa Golf Hall of Fame are Nate Dunn and Jeff Schmid. Dunn is a Manchester native who has won 3 Iowa amateur titles, and Schmidt is a Cedar Rapids Kennedy and University of Iowa alum and the reigning Iowa Section Senior PGA Player of the Year.
Both good guys. Jeff, of course, down in Iowa City. Former teammate of mine, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
he's a good stick. They both are. Congratulations to them. 3:28, we'll take a break, come back. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us, and we will have our Off the Glass segment when we come back here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And there will be more sunshine this afternoon, and it will be warmer, but it will be very windy. Gusts of around 35 miles per hour will make it feel like the 20s through the day. As we head into tonight, we'll have clear skies to start. Temperatures drop down into the teens, and the winds start to back off. Tomorrow, we'll have more clouds around, and temperatures held to the low 30s. We'll stay chilly into the weekend with a chance for some light snow on Saturday. That's your latest Iowa News Now Weather First forecast.
Sure, it's only February, but graduation isn't far off. If a high school senior at your house is getting their diploma this spring, a scholarship probably sounds pretty good. And this might surprise you, but Linn County REC is offering multiple scholarships to 2025 grads who will attend school in our fine state. Here's how it works. If you're a Linn County REC customer, the graduating senior who lives in your home can apply for one of these scholarships if they'll be attending a college, university, or vocational technical school in Iowa beginning this fall. The deadline to apply is March 3rd, so you'll want to encourage them to get working on this ASAP. You and they can find all the details and the application at LynnCountyREC.com. And if you think this is a new thing, this will surprise you too. Linn County REC has been offering scholarships like these for 30 years as part of their commitment to the communities they serve. Scholarships for students studying in Iowa. It's just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Imagine someone hiding a gambling problem. How exhausting it must be, seeing the losses pile up and feeling powerless to control it. Now imagine it's someone you love, your spouse, your child, your friend. Talk to them to understand where they're coming from, because anyone can have a gambling problem. They just need help getting their life back. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF to get help for them and you.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. Lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of nine, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter at edge-realtygroup.com.
And a big thanks to Chris Shooter Lehman with our off-the-glass sponsorship with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. Not only handling homes in Iowa City and the surrounding area, but all the way up the corridor to Cedar Rapids. Go ahead and give Chris a call. And with that in mind, we bring in Big Brother Kevin Lehman, the coach, with our off-the-glass segment, proudly brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group. And Chris always passes the ball to you with a gem each and every week, Kevin. And we talked about, you mentioned this a little bit last week. We need to expand on it now. You're supposed to comment about the warm-ups at Cleveland State and how the mousetrap D worked on Mouse McFadden.
The mousetrap D didn't work very well. But first of all, hey, I'm leaving my insurance agent's office, so a shout-out to Jason Quillen and Chris Bowles at Farm Bureau in North Liberty. Those guys take great care of me.
Ah. Well, tell us about the mousetrap.
Well, I got to tell you about the warm-up lines. This is, those people who don't know about Cleveland State, they had beaten Indiana, I think, in 86 and went to the Sweet 16. And they had a guy named Mouse McFadden that he reminds you of Allen Iverson, but no one knew his history. I think he went to four high schools. Supposedly they found him on the playgrounds in New York, but this dude could really, really play. I mean, he played like Allen Iverson. And Kevin Mackey was the coach. You guys remember Kevin Mackey?
Yep.
He was assistant with Tom Davis at Boston College. They ran that pressure stuff, trapping defense. But we go up, and here's the gist of the story. We're at Cleveland, and we got our nice warm-ups on. We go up there at 23 minutes on the clock, do our layup lines, our two-man shooting, and there's nobody at the other end. There's no Cleveland State guys anywhere. We go down at 12 minutes, take our shooting shirts off. I mean, we're looking really good. We come back up, and maybe there's like one Cleveland State guy shooting around with a gray T-shirt on. And I looked at Kevin Boyle, who gets real nervous for warm-ups, my good friend KB. He was always looking at a team warming up and tell you, he'd get all nervous about their shooting it well. And then about 5 minutes, another guy saunters up, Scott. And, we're getting ready to go. And now a couple more guys saunter up. They never did a layup line, and they never did anything formal. They never had any warm-ups on. They had, like, gray T-shirts. And I looked at KB, and I go, I got a bad feeling, KB. I got a bad feeling about this one. And sure enough, they tipped it up. We were down 22-4 before you could blink.
Oh, man.
They put the mousetrap on us.
It didn't work.
No, and they were like the misfit toys. They had a guy named Stanley who had the stair step afro, where like one side was 8 inches high, the other side was 1 inch. It would stair step up. They also almost had Manute Bol. They had him on campus trying to get him through an English proficiency That's how Manute Bol ended up at Bridgeport, Connecticut College, because they couldn't get him in school. We knew about this deal. I think they got in a little trouble with the NCAA for trying to get Manute Bol proficient in English. But that was Cleveland State, man, the good old days of the Mid-Continent League.
The old AMQ-8.
Yeah.
Well, wish we had better news with Iowa State right now. Although I will say this, and Mark and I both agreed that Iowa gave a really good account of themselves on Tuesday night against Purdue and probably would have beaten a lot of Big Ten teams that were not named Purdue that night. Unfortunately, they were going up against the Boilermakers, though, and the first night of life without Owen Freeman for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem because, you know, they were soft inside to begin with, and Freeman was the main guy on the glass and their inside presence offensively. Teams are going to adjust with Freeman being out. Wisconsin coming in, of course, we know what happened up when they played up at Wisconsin with all the threes that the Badgers made. They're going to have to be able to make some adjustments on that. But, you know, when a guy like Freeman goes out, guys, it's not – as bad as you think, because they're going to put another body in there, and they're going to play maybe not score as well as him, but they'll be able to defend and rebound, hopefully, for the Hawks.
Kevin, curious what you make of Iowa State's three-game losing streak. Bill Self had an explanation. I don't know whether you buy it, but basically said that a guy throws in a 70-footer, which may have been 55, against at Arizona, and then maybe a bit of a letdown against Kansas State, and then you have to go to Allen Fieldhouse. So do you buy Self's explanation, or is there more to it?
Well, I'm surprised that one guy that shoots the three and can affect this team that much. I think what you're seeing also, Mark, is other teams in the league are seeing ways to defend Iowa State, and that's working. They're really packing it in. They're struggling to shoot the three ball, so everybody's going to do it until they start making threes again. And when you struggle from the three-point line, they will not guard you out there. I'm seeing it with a lot of teams I'm covering in the Valley that aren't, you know, I had Murray State and Drake. Murray State could not throw it in the ocean in that game. So, but I tell you, here's what I'm still scratching my head about is how Kansas State, and I know Kansas State's playing better right now, how they came into Hilton Coliseum and beat the Cyclones that badly. So, in February, you have those, you know, you get in early February, it's kind of dog days. And as a coach, you got to really have your finger on the pulse of your team, and you got to know the psyche of your team and how you're going to handle your players when you're going through something like this. So T.J. Otzelberg has to maneuver through some different types of things here to get this team back on track. I'm not sure what he's going to do. Do you lighten up practices? Do you make them harder? What do you do? But getting Manchilovic back will certainly help the Cyclones.
Well, it's not like everything is gone for Iowa State. I mean, they're three games behind Houston and Arizona, have lost to Arizona, got to go to Houston. Regular season Big 12 championship may not be in the cards, but still they're going to do fine when they get to the Big 12 tournaments. Still a lot of things to play for, and right now most people have them as the top number three seed, but they could get back to that two seed certainly.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get back to that number one seed, but I think a two is a possibility. Yeah, I think all teams go through this. It's such a long season, and you start practicing in June now. So these players will wear out, and that's happened. So we call it the dog days. And then once you see about 4 weeks left and the conference tournament come up, it kind of reinvigorates, and especially the seniors get some senioritis going. Senior urgency, I guess, would be the better term, and start playing well. So it's a real test for your staff right now, how you handle your team and get them back on the right track. They're not the only ones going through it. There's a number of teams that have played well and are struggling right now and trying to fight their way out of it.
Kevin, we got a question for you on the text line from 3702, and I think there's some underlying feelings in this question, not to read too much into it, but the question is, Coach Lehman, will Darren DeVries ever consider coaching a team from Iowa again?
You know, I got to think he will, because his family's all here. His brothers, his sister, she's the volleyball coach at Waukee. He's got a brother that's Clear Lake coaching football. The other ones are in Des Moines. Mom and dad still live in Appleton, Iowa. But I didn't think he'd leave in the first place, Mark. I thought he'd wait another year. But I tell you what, West Virginia I told you this story, Javon Small, when I was down there covering that game against Kansas, and Bill Self told us he tried to recruit Javon Small. We looked at and said, meet out of high school. He goes, no, out of the transfer portal. And I didn't say anything to Coach Self or to Mark Neely, but I'm thinking, West Virginia just outbid Kansas for a player in the transfer portal. That's how much the world has changed. So what I'm getting to is Darren DeVries, the first question he's going to ask if he's approached by Iowa, if that job should ever come open, is how much money is available in NIL to put together a roster. And that's the big question now. And you've got to have the funds to do it, because we've talked about it. I think Indiana's at around $8 million. Texas Tech, I heard, is around $8 million. UCLA's around $6 to $7 million. That's what those roster salaries are right now.
And he certainly put together a good roster at West Virginia. And he's winning right now. I mean, they hit a little bit of a lull and a speed bump. They're 5-6 right now in the Big 12. But, Sun's out for the year. Probably going to get I think they probably tried for a medical redshirt. Who knows? But not just saying that, you know, this is all said and done, that he would think about coming back. And if the job is even open, what we are looking at right now in Iowa City. But I'm with you. I think he would take a look at something. I think he almost has to. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. But again, this is all pure speculation, because there is no job open right now.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. You know, and I've been in that situation where what Fran's in right now is a little bit of, the seats get a little bit hot. There's a lot of talk out there. You're trying to recruit. I tell you what's been nice about Iowa, though, their recruiting is going very well for a coach that's supposedly on the hot seat. So you got to give them credit for that, that they're getting some guys signed up. It's got, you know, they look like a pretty good class that they've lined up to come in here. And that's not easy to do when you're getting bashed on the recruiting trail by other coaches about your job security. I've been through that. And it is, it's a tough battle. So I don't like talking about jobs that aren't open yet. But, you know, Darren DeVries, that I'm close to him. His son, though, he'll get a medical redshirt if he wants it, because the limit, I think, was 10 games, and he played in 8.
Okay.
Because we looked at that when they held him out against Kansas. And even Bill Self said, well, they're not going to play him anymore because he can get a medical redshirt. He gets past a certain limit or halfway through the season, then he's no longer qualifies.
Healthy Tucker next year will help, certainly.
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. You know, he put that roster together. There was basically nobody. I think one player came back on that West Virginia roster. So that's how fast he had to assemble a team at West Virginia.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here at 3:43, off the glass segment brought to you by Chris Lehman. Michigan State went to L.A., and they are no longer undefeated. Got waxed pretty good by USC, and then UCLA hit a buzzer beater, a tough shot to get them. And now all of a sudden it's a pretty doggone good race in the Big Ten.
Well, it really is. And, UCLA's coming on. Oregon's fading a little bit. The teams that we liked, Illinois, banged up and hurt. It's a tough league to figure out. I think the postseason tournament will be very, very interesting in the Big Ten, because it's going to be who's hot at that time and who's going to be able to advance. So Purdue's starting to look better and better as we look at this Big Ten race. But it's far from over, and you're going to see a number of upsets, and Iowa's going to knock off. They'll get you a couple surprise wins, and there'll be that girlfriend that we dumped that we're going to be back in love with again.
Well, I was going to ask you about the weekend with TCU and Iowa State getting together, and Iowa and Wisconsin on Saturday at high noon. What kind of matchup will Iowa face against Wisconsin as opposed to that Purdue game?
Based on what we saw the first time and all those threes that Wisconsin shot, I don't think they're going to do it again. I'm looking for Wisconsin to go inside and get their feet in the paint and get some points in the paint, because usually when you see those games that something happens the first contest, there's so many adjustments made, Mark, that same they don't follow that same song sheet in the second go-round. So I'm looking for a little different attack by Wisconsin. Of course, if you're Iowa, you've got to do something differently and guard that three-point line on the Badgers. But can Iowa win that? Dix has got to score big time. Samford's got to score big time. They got to get a little help from Mulvey inside, and some of those things have to happen. Traore's got to play well. And I think it lessens our margin of error, Mark, because of Olin Freeman going out. But I still think this team's capable of getting some wins.
Mm. 319-366-1600 if you have a question for Kevin, by the way, if you want to get it in on the text line here as we talk a little college hoops. I'm getting information from my embedded colleague in the state of Indiana that things are going down this afternoon in Bloomington, and there may be a news conference about Mike Woodson. So just throwing that out there. He's hearing some things that are rumbling out there in Hoosier land.
Tom Crean, where when we need you?
I don't think it's Tom Crean coming back.
He's the last guy to have a good run with him, though. And it wasn't good enough for him. So they brought back their own, and it's not going well. Big NIL payroll, example of it not of NIL and big payrolls failing. We talked about Arkansas starting to turn theirs around a little bit, but in Kansas State, but Indiana's not been able to do it.
Kevin, all right, last for me, there's an interesting story I read on CBS Sports about the fact that there could be a record number of one-and-done freshmen in the NCAA tournament. And we talk a lot about how a portal can transform a team, but we tend to forget about recruiting, even though it may be only for one year. And of course, this class led by Cooper Flagg, but a lot of great freshmen out there.
Yeah, there are, but you know, here's the ones that are marginal. They can stay in college and make more money as a college player than they can maybe a two-way contract in NBA. That's what's changed in this world of NIL. Guy like Hunter Dickinson, he's not going to make the amount of money he's making at Kansas in the NBA. And there's a number of other guys in that same boat. So I think, Mark, what you're going to see, you know, some of these guys go, but you're going to see the marginal players stay and take the money in college. That's another big shift, seismic shift we've seen in college basketball.
In the Valley, it's looking more and more, thanks to Belmont's beating of Bradley, that we could be seeing Drake and you and I in a collision course, perhaps, to the Valley Championship down in St. Louis. That would be fun.
I tell you what, yeah, Drake's got to come up and play at McLeod. I can't remember the date. I know it's toward the end of the year. And then you and I still got to go back and play at Bradley. So it was a battle between those three. And the important thing right now, I think those three are fairly safe, is to be in those top four because you're going to get a first-round bye. That's why Belmont had a real sense of urgency at Bradley last night. Bradley's really struggling to shoot it. I've had him two games in a row. You and I just really stomped him. And you and I dodged a big bullet going to Missouri State. Those are scary games. They took Drake into overtime. They were able to pull it out. The Panthers got a win at Missouri State. Missouri State with, I think, were they 1-11 right now?
Yep. 1-12.
But yeah, I think you and I just kind of bounced back from the loss of Leon Bond. And that certainly took a little adjustment, just like we've seen with Iowa State losing Michilovic. It takes a little while for you to adjust to some new roles. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think they're playing really well right now.
I made a solemn vow yesterday. I raised my right hand and everything on the air saying I am not going to get mad at bracketology today. So I have not done that in the first 15 minutes that we have been talking. So I'm very proud of myself.
Go ahead, Scott. You're pissed again.
Hey, Arkansas is, what, 15th in the SEC, and now they're the first four out. That's all I'm going to say today.
I even have looked at the great Joe Lenardi. We had him on Tuesday night in our game, Drake at Murray, and basically he said, Drake's got to win out and win the championship, or they're going to be just like Indiana State. Here's the thing is, this Drake team could go like 30-2, make that 29-3, whatever it is, and have three losses, get beat in the championship of the Valley, and they will not get an NCAA bid. Here's the sad thing. This is a league ranked 10th in the country based on 31 leagues get automatic bids. Top 10, it's a one-bid league. And I think even number 9 league is a one-bid league. So we're seeing, we talked about before, all those at-large bids are going to the Major Four Conference and the Big East.
How did we let it come to this? I mean, I get it. It's money. It's always money. We're talking about the NFL going to an 18-game schedule. That's money. We know that. But Indiana State last year and Drake possibly this year, I guess you could say just win and you don't have to worry about it. But they are going to win 29 times probably. And somebody that's going to end up five games under 500 in their conference is going to get a bit ahead of them.
Well, it started with football, guys, you know, years ago. Remember when the Big 12 was going to fall apart and they were scrambling to go places and no one wanted Kansas because their football wasn't very good? This was, what was it, 6, 7, 8 years ago?
Yep.
When the Big 12 was in jeopardy. That's when this started. So the people I talked to in Missouri Valley Conference, there's a fear now that this NCAA tournament is going to actually split off like we see in football, and there's going to be a separate division for the so-called mid-majors.
I think,
but that's not that far away.
I think you are right on it, and I told that to Mark today. I think that's the only way to go, have a separate tournament, and probably no one's going to pay any attention, but it'll be a fun tournament.
Don't call St. Mary's a major.
Yeah. Well, what's fun about this one is the St. Peter's of the world. Oakland's of the world beating Kentucky last year. That's what makes this tournament so great. Man, we want to see the upsets in that first round, but we want the Blue Bloods to play once they get to Sweet 16. That's the push and pull of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it.
Very true. Very, very true. All right. Where are you at this week?
Well, I just had a whirlwind tour. I've seen Nashville, Murray, Kentucky, and Peoria here in the last 4 days, and we've got a nice one brewing in the McLeod Center. Illinois State's coming in to play the Panthers on Saturday on an ESPN game.
Illinois State's right behind Belmont in the standings at fifth, so that'll be a big one. That'll be a
Yeah, they got a dude inside, Chase Walker, who's really playing well. 6'9", kid out of Columbus, Ohio, that is going to be a handful for the Panthers to handle. And I'm thinking, where's Drake got this weekend? I think they're on the road again, or I'm not sure. My head's a little scrambled right now. I've been putting a lot of miles on. But I tell you this, did you guys happen to watch the Drake-Murray State game?
It was a defensive showcase.
I've heard it set the record for lowest number of possessions in a basketball game this season.
Oh, did it really? Oh, wow. Steve Prohm was going to not let Drake get up and down the court.
54. Well, Drake didn't want to get up down the court. They don't like to get up and down the court. I tell you what, whatever he's doing, though, Scott, it is working. What I want to see is if this Drake model works in the NCAA tournament, because they're going to be a tough matchup if they able to punch their ticket and get in that tournament. Because they had a couple scouts in there, NBA scouts, to look at Bennett Sturts, because they're saying, when we look at our analytical people in our NBA office, said this guy is off the charts. They'll watch him on tape. They're like, oh, unathletic looking. We're trying to find a comparison. So I had a scout that goes, Scott Howard, you guys know, was the scout. He's with Denver. He goes, I had to see what this guy looks like in person. I haven't got a chance to talk to Scott and see what his feedback is. But this kid can play. Sturts can play.
Yeah.
We're kind of comparing him to, remember Austin Reeves came out of Oklahoma?
Which Big State? Country.
Oklahoma, now with the Lakers. No, Austin Reeves.
Oh, Austin Reeves. My bad. What am I thinking? I'm thinking of the Okie State Reeves.
Yeah. He's playing for Lakers right now. That's kind of the comparison we've come up with for Bennett Sturts.
37-02, West Virginia's got to get into the NCAAs first before you'd like to see them play Creighton. So, that would be fun, though. Hey, and as we know, the NCAA committee has a sense of humor, so you could see Creighton and West Virginia in the first round. Weirder things have happened, so that would
be no question.
All right, Kevin, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right, Kevin Lehman, the coach, with our Off the Glass segment brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. We'll come back with a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you right after this.
Hungry? Quick Star's got you. Food's here, and it's hot and ready. Check out our appetizers, like crispy tornadoes, packed with bold fillings that'll keep you coming back for more. And experience Quick Star's zesty mini tacos, bite-sized, big flavor, and totally irresistible. No dinner plans? Take home and bake a freshly made Cheese Mountain Pizza. So easy and delicious. Fuel up at your ultimate destination for snacks and meals that hit the spot. Only at Quick Star.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text LION to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone-boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text LION to 321321. That's LION to 321321.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it was a Bowling Night in America brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. And it did not go well for the Nails last night.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, a bit of a dicey one last night at May City Bowl in the adult Evergreen League. Rusty Nails dropping a 20-10 decision to Barry's Lanes, which has moved into second place in the league. So at least we got beat by a good team. Or lucky, I don't know.
Well, they bowled well last night.
They did bowl well.
They bowled well. We didn't bowl horribly. They just bowled really well. One of those nights. Who else bowled well?
Well, it wasn't a great night on the lanes in terms of super high scores. Ryan Bundy was one of two bowlers that had 700 series. He topped everybody at 728. High game shared by Carlos Redmond and Darren Bloomquist at 269.
Hey, Carlos, well done. Well done.
Big Georgia fan.
Big Georgia fan, and Ryan Bundy, a big Philadelphia Eagle fan. So he and Marcus were going at it last night. Marcus, a big Chiefs fan. So if you'd like to get in touch with them about open bowling, et cetera, how do you do that?
Absolutely. Phone number 362-0136, or you can visit the website maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, tomorrow we'll have the final edition, your final chance to win a $30 gift card with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Look at basketball and talk a lot of Super Bowl coming up tomorrow. Have a great night, Mark.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
Ben the Gym Class, KGYM.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call.